You are amazing and wonderful. We are so lucky, we're so blessed to be able to be here, to be able to open your word, to be able to learn what you're trying to say for our lives. Please be with us now as we open your word, that you will humble our hearts, that you will give me the words to say, that it will be you speaking and not me. And God, I pray that our lives can be ones of great impact and great fruit that really glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. We're going through a series. We're going through the book of Mark, and now we are on Mark 11. So if you grab your Bibles, if you're going to open up to Mark 11, we're going to jump right in. And I'll have a great intro for you, so make it up. It'll be wonderful in your head. And but today we're going to talk about fruit. In Mark 11, we're going to start in verse 12. Since the next day they were leaving Bethany, and Jesus was hungry. Seeing at a distance there was a fig tree in leaf, he went out to find if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it wasn't the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, he entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and benches of those who were selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And he taught, and as he taught them, he said, Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. For they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning as they went along, they saw a fig tree, that fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and Jesus said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree was cursed and withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." This is a really strange section in the Bible, if we're gonna be honest, right? Jesus is walking along and he's hungry and he sees a fig tree and it's got leaves on it. And he's like, "Oh, I know it's not the season for figs, but maybe they'll have figs there." And he's hungry, so he goes over there, but there's no figs because it's not the season for figs. And Jesus curses the tree. And then he walks in to the temple courts and there's people buying and selling things. And he starts turning tables and driving people out and stopping people from coming in with stuff. And then he goes back out and that tree's withered. This seems like it's a really angry day for Jesus, right? And then they're like, "Hey, look, what you did happened." And he tells the disciples, one of the more famous things in the Bible, "If you say this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, it'll be done." This seems really strange and like it's all jammed together. But as we look into it, Jesus is making a very direct point in all of this. It's like he knew what was gonna happen as it went on. That Jesus is making a point to his disciples, and I think he's making the same point for us, that a life without fruit is useless. That he goes and he sees this tree and he says, "This tree, if it doesn't produce fruit, what's the point of it?" Right, and he curses the tree, but he's doing that to show what he's about to do next in the temple. And he goes into the temple courts and he sees people in the temple courts buying and selling merchandise, selling doves and cattle. And he sees a people who look like they should be producing fruit, but they lack it. The people of God, which should be that which produces great fruit in their life, is living a comfortable religious life. What he sees is the people that should be the producing these amazing things and being a light to the world, but instead, they look just like everybody else. They live lives just as useless as everybody else. And this is what he's trying to tell his disciples, that a life like this, a life that's religious, that does certain things but doesn't produce fruit, has no meaning in the grand scheme of things. You know, for most of us we know, but the temple was split up into different parts. And you had the inner courts, and you had the most holy place, and the holy place, and then the inner courts. And in the inner courts is where the men could go, the Jewish men could go and worship. And then you had the court of women, where the women could go, the Jewish women could go and worship. And then you had the temple courts. And it's called the court of the Gentiles. And that's where the people who were not ethnically Jewish could come, and they could learn and worship God, even though they weren't Jewish. And so as Jesus walked into the temple courts, the place that he walked into was the place where the whole world was meant to come and find and learn and know God. And instead of having that opportunity, it was a marketplace. That the Jews had forgotten one of the fruits that God had desired for them to have. That throughout the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis 1, we see God had a missional mindset. He had a desire for the whole world to know him. And we see this, but at some point the Jews had forgotten. And we don't know exactly how it got there, but at some point they lost that, and God desired for them to produce that kind of fruit, but they had forgotten, and it set up a marketplace to make it easier for them to sacrifice to their God. That a place where the whole world should know, they're like, no, we need to make it easier for us to worship God. And in the same way, it's easy for us to forget certain fruits that God desires for us. You know, in the New Testament, we see five kinds of fruit that God expects of us, or asks of us, or calls, or says that we can have. We can have the fruit of repentance. We can have the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We can have the fruit of an evangelistic life, of bearing fruit, of helping other people know Jesus. We can have the fruit of rejoicing, and we can have one more. The fruit of peace. And that these are the five that in the New Testament that he calls these five fruits something that we should have. And Jesus is saying, man, if you don't have this fruit, then what's the point? Right? If you're walking along and claiming to be a Christian and claiming to follow God and come to church every Sunday and, you know, and read your Bible, but it's not producing repentance in your life. If your life isn't being transformed by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, if it's not being transformed by Jesus, then you might as well not come consistently. If you don't have, if peace is not being produced in your life from a relationship with God, he's like, you're missing the whole point. If there's not joy in self-control, if you're not growing in these things in your love, then you're missing the whole point. If you're not being a light, you're missing it all. But it's so easy for us to get into routines and to keep moving forward. And instead of allowing the Holy Spirit, allowing our relationship with God to produce great things, we just live mundane lives and we miss the whole thing. In verse 22, they respond, and they're like, look what happened, Jesus. What are you trying to tell us? And he says, have faith. If you believe and don't doubt that what you say will happen, it will be done for you. Therefore, ask whatever you want in prayer and it will be done. You know, Jesus is saying, they're like, well, what do you mean we gotta have fruit? What do you mean that this is a big ask, Jesus? And he said, you need to have faith. You need to pray for whatever that is. God, I don't have peace in my life. God, he says, you need to pray and God will give it to you. God, I don't see this repentance in my life. I keep coming back to the same sin over and over again. And I want it to be gone and I want to get rid of it, but I just can't find that change of mind. He's like, ask, don't doubt, and it will be given. God, I want to be someone of self-control. I want to be someone of love. I want to have the fruit of the Spirit. I want the Spirit to guide my life. But I just keep going back to my own knowledge and my own religious moral life that I've been given. God, I want to produce the fruit that comes from the Spirit. It says you need to ask and it will be given. It's easy to take this line and think that Jesus is talking about other things, but contextually, he's talking about asking for fruit in our life. He's asking for God, produce a life that's transformed by you, one that reflects you. Not God, give me more money, God, give me more stuff, right? It's God, produce fruit in my life. I think for me, this is a challenging thing when I think about it contextually. I think it's easy to ask God for specific things that are more materialistic, more things on earth. God, just give me a little bit more money so I can have a little more cushion, you know? Or God, help me not to have conflict in my life. You know, or God, help me with my family. You know, help me with my wife. She's being a little bit extra today. You know, I can ask for those things. My wife's amazing. And everyone who knows her knows that. But I can feel that, you know, we all can feel those ways, right? But it's hard. There are certain things, there are certain fruits that I'm like, I don't know if today I really want to have that. If there have been ways in my life that I've been hurt or that people have abused some of these things in the way that they've talked to me, and I'm like, I don't really want to pray for that one today. You know, and specifically the fruit that Jesus is talking about in this is the fruit of an evangelistic life. That contextually, that what the Jews were doing here and what made the religious leaders so upset about Jesus confronting was that they were keeping the rest of the world from being able to know God. That they were living a life where they were, instead of where God was asking them to bring the world to him, they were keeping them out. And we don't exactly know why or how this all happened, but we do know that they were living in Rome and they were conquered by Rome. After hundreds of years of being conquered by countries, different nations coming in and conquering them and oppressing them and keeping them down, they were being oppressed for hundreds of years. And they were watching the rest of the world succeed and have money and have things and seem happy and then making their life miserable for generations. And maybe the Gentiles just weren't coming. Maybe the Romans weren't coming to the temple courts and there was just empty space. And they're like, you know what? We have this empty space and we gotta have people are coming down from the bottom of the city and they're bringing up their sacrifices. What if we just set it up here to make it easier for those who are here? And maybe they're like, that's a lot of work to go out and try and convince people who are heathenistic, who are living this way. That's a lot of work. They're not coming on their own. You know, and so if it's not coming on, let's just set up, let's make it comfortable for us. Let's make it easier for our people to worship God. And to some extent, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, there's these people who don't want God. If they did, they would come. They're not coming. They've been horrible to us. Why would I make extra effort? Why would I make extra work? You know what I think? I think if we're honest, there are a lot of us who have been hurt when we use the word, I think even when we use the word evangelism, even that can be a triggering word. Because somebody has abused it in the past. You know, or maybe when we talk about repentance, repentance can be, oh, don't, let's find different words for that. Let's change it to mind change or, you know, think again. You know, we got to change the word because there are triggers in our life, and that's real. And I get it. You know, we talk about self-control, and I remember feeling like, man, that word was just hammered in a way that didn't feel healthy to me. And so, man, why do I want to pray for that? God, give me this thing that was abused in my life. But just because somebody has used something in an abusive way doesn't mean that it in itself is bad. That helping the world know God is amazing and wonderful. And one more person who can be able to spend eternity with God is amazing. That is incredible. And it is worth the work. But just because somebody has used you or used it wrongly or said it poorly, doesn't mean that God's heart had ever changed. Just that somebody had spoken of it, had used it wrong. And I think this is why Jesus is even calling his disciples to pray. Because I think it was hard. He's saying, trust God. But they're like, that's hard. I don't want to trust God in going out and doing this. Pray. He will change your heart. He will change it. And maybe it's this repentance and you felt like, man, there was no grace in that. And I was called to repent, but there was no grace in my repentance. I was just do good or do bad or get out. And you're like, I just don't want to go there. Jesus is like, you got to trust. And when that's hard, you got to pray that you can get there. Pray and it will be given to you. God, I want to have a repentant heart, but that whole thing just... It weirds me out. I can't get there. It triggers me. We got to pray. And it will be given. Pray for this heart. God, I want to bear fruit, but I got this stuff in my life. I got these hurts. I got these pains. I just got this busyness in my life. Whatever it is, God, I want to bear fruit, but I know I'm not there in trusting you. I know I'm not there. She says, pray and don't doubt, and it will be given to you. That God desires for you to live an incredible, impactful life in this world. He desires it for all of us. For us to be able to live impactful, loving lives where we love and we care for people. He wants us to live lives where we're transformed and that the 40-year-olds aren't acting like the 18-year-olds because they've matured and grown. Right? And that the 70-year-olds aren't acting like the 40-year-olds because they've been more like Jesus as they're growing and repenting. Right? I don't want to be, like, I work with the college students. I don't want to act like I did when I was in college. That would be very scary. Right? And in 20 years, I hope that I am not the way I am now. I hope I'm more like Jesus. And I want to pray for that every day. God, give me the fruit of repentance. Help me to live this. Help me not to live this stagnant life that just goes on. Help me to be led by help me to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Help me to have peace. Don't make me like as my flesh wants to be. Help me to produce fruit. He says it will be given. You know, Jesus it gives a pretty strong warning here to his disciples. But it's also an incredible calling. It's also something amazing he's promising for them. You can have whatever you ask. You know, I love that Jesus spent the time to help his disciples not to grow stagnant. I love that he wants us to be able to work through those mountains in our life, to be able to move them so we can produce great fruit. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take communion, and I want to challenge us as we think about, you know, maybe what are the fruit? What's the fruit that you're scared to produce, or that you're not praying? You know that you don't have faith, you don't trust in God enough for. But I want you to think about Jesus, about how he trusted God to the very end, so that we could be people who live lives of great fruit. I'm going to pray now, God. We're so grateful that we don't have to live meaningless lives, but that we can be trees that produce great fruit, that we can have peace and joy and love, patience and gentleness, that we can be people of repentance, that we can be lights on a hill, that we can have peace. God, thank you that Jesus came down, and because of his sacrifice, we get the opportunity to be connected to you. We love you. We are indebted to your love for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.